Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And once again, we're in that precious journey of the bridal encouragement and enrichment into our lives that's seen through this precious brother, Jonathan. And last week, we saw such heights in the expression of bridal love in this precious brother. We rejoiced in how he fell in love with the words that were spoken by the anointed. And in that, it wasn't just hearing, there was a response. Matter of fact, it ravished his soul so much that his soul fell in love with the soul of that precious brother. And as we rejoiced last week, reading about the soul of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I do love God, and I love how awesome our God is and how all-powerful He is. But the intimacy is seen in the soul of the Lamb, the beauty of the One who has made one of us. He took everything, has taken that, took it to the cross, bore all the grief, the pain, the suffering, and the promise that He won the victory. So we thank God and we believe Him. But as it was seen in Jonathan, that word caused Jonathan to give David his garments. But even so, as the word of God said, his sword, praise the Lord, the bow and the girdle. Basically saying, Lord, I'm giving you everything. And then I'm giving you all my strength. And then I'm giving you my prized possession, everything that defined me in that bow. And then finally, Lord, I'm giving you all the fruitfulness of my life because I realize that the only fruitfulness I can have is you. I want that intimacy. I want to know the love of Christ. I want to truly be that vessel that truly adds to the usefulness of the husband, and that would be that wonderful fruit. So this only happens when we fall in love with the soul, when we fall in love with the soul of the Lamb, when we fall in love with the great love wherewith we are loved. Amen? And that complete surrender, especially the fruitfulness in knowing the depths of love, we begin to take that place with Him. And see, I grieve when people don't really understand this. You don't serve here and rule and reign over there. You're a readied wife now. You rule and reign jointly together with Him now. And you'll rule and reign jointly together with Him over there. But see, knowing about the ruling and reigning, there's only one way that happens, and that's knowing the grace of God. The divine, the depth of the grace of God, because we know that of us it would be laughable, criable, it would be horrible, hopeless. But that's exactly where grace comes in such divine power and takes us in that praise of absolute lowliness and thankfulness to God and saying to Him, Lord, I believe. I believe in every bit of Your all grace. That it's the all-sufficiency in all things and it's all ways. That I will superabound to every good work. Matter of fact, every before-ordained good work that I should walk therein. Amen? So we thank God for this and we believe Him. And in that believing and in that heart, as Jonathan has completely been ravished, knowing that that love between them is complete, we know what's coming next, suffering together with Christ. And now we're going to see that. Right after this incredible moment, and after this incredible moment, we saw Saul. He was moved, but he wasn't moved, and no one else was moved to fall in love with the soul. But Saul was moved after those words. He says, David, you're not going to your house anymore. You're going to come into my house. So Saul, he wasn't moved with the words. Saul was moved with emotion. Because emotion will change, the words will settle you. The word of His grace will settle you. And you'll Stand on the rock that's higher than you. Things will shift around you. Things will change, and they'll be ever-changing. But he's the one that changes not. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same. And that's the thing, by the grace of God, you'll see that consistency in those that love the truth. That they stand upon the rock. That their stand and withstand and having an all to stand is because of the faithfulness of the grace of God to their lives. Praise God. So, Saul, though, in that emotion, he brings David into the kingdom. We're all going to be a happy family. We're all just going to love because this is exciting. And I'm going to do the right thing. And actually, I kind of think, to be honest with you, as we really will read about Saul, I think he brought him in there because he had done such a great thing. He kind of wanted to, well, I'm doing a great thing by bringing him in. It was never to acknowledge the grace. It was always to be acknowledged. God help us that that would not be us. We want to just magnify the grace of God. And in that, aren't we thankful that we can magnify the grace of God in one another? Pray for one another. We pray just because we pray. It wasn't just because it's a good thing or a nice thing. It's God's thing. I want to be about God's thing. Amen? So we're thankful to the Lord in this. So Saul brings him in. But immediately after bringing him in, Saul's self-centeredness and ego is once again exposed. So let's go ahead and read verses 5 through 12 of chapter 18. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Oh, we know where Saul was going with this. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast that javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now see, he knew that, and he knew that at that time, that that anointing was gone. And that anointing was on David. And so sad, brothers and sisters, because when we're self-centered, and our pride is not broken, it only waxes worse. And I pray that we're not just, you know, seated in the back seat just observing this, but really approaching this for our own lives. We better get excited about the grace of God. We better be thankful for the grace of God. And when the grace of God graces us, and it does, if you'll be in it, it'll grace you. Be thankful. Be joyful. When you're thankful for the grace of God, I'll tell you what, jealousy will have no place with you. Praise God. And we know that jealousy is crueler than the grave. Think about that. And you see the action that Saul had. But as I mentioned the other night, there's even more here. It wasn't just that Saul was jealous. He detested the grace of God. This is what this is an example of. It's so sweet. You think of the joy that David brought. Think of the joy that truly was the salvation of Israel at this time. It was about a 10 or 12-year-old boy. Every soldier was afraid. The king was afraid. No one would face Goliath. But here God had prepared the vessel. And it was the vessel that nobody was thinking of. Even his dad had forgotten about him. And here he was. And he knew the word of the Lord. He knew what God had done for him. Amen. He never forgot. Remember his testimony? I ripped up the bear. I ripped up the lion. I think God can take care of that Philistine too. Amen. It wasn't any different. You come to stand before God's anointed. Do you know your life? You're anointed of the Lord. You're a son of God. Think of that. You know, people want to talk about different anointings. You're a son of God. Amen. We don't have eternities enough to describe that. But it is what it is. Praise God. So, it was evident that the grace of God was with David. It was so evident that you didn't even need to guess. It wasn't because he was a strong guy or a mighty man or had big muscles or great skill, anything of that nature. It was completely the grace of God. Even more so than maybe even a Samson in a way, because Samson at least was an adult. Some people like to show him with big muscles. I'm sure Samson didn't have a one. They wondered how he was strong like that. I'm sure they probably called him the stovepipe neck. But here we got David, a little kid. And he just basically defeated the Philistine army all by the grace of God. It was a miracle, amen? So Saul, instead of praising God for the miracle, all he thought to do was to bring the miracle by him. And somehow by being by the miracle, it was going to be good for him. But God showed him the anointing of the Lord upon a life, and God's favor. And God's favor grew. God's favor grew on David towards the people. The people began to see, as God enlightened their eyes, that the anointing was on that boy. That was God's choice. And instead of rejoicing like all the people were doing, were singing and dancing and all. See, you think about that. It didn't talk about any of the other ones that were jealous. I'm sure there might have been, but that wasn't in God's plan. He had those people, and even all of Saul's servants, they weren't jealous of him. They were thankful for him. Be thankful for when people stand for the truth. Be thankful when people preach the Word of God, teach you the Word of God, live the Word of God, love the Word of God. That's why we need to be thankful for every life that comes into this meeting. Amen. Sure, we got things going on. Amen. There's everything that goes on in life in this meeting. Just like there's everything that goes on in life in every meeting. It may look different on the vessels, but it's still all there. Only God knows the heart, and don't tell me it ain't. But the difference is, it's all there, but what are you hearing? What are you hearing? Well, if it's all there, and I know it's everywhere, and it's all there, you know where I'm going to hear? I'm going to hear where the whole counsel of God is, and I'm going to go hear Paul's gospel. And I'm not going to worry about what's there. Because the one thing I know about Paul's gospel, if you'll yield to it, it'll take care of that just like that. And it will. Amen? You getting it? I'm starting to. The Lord's talking to me. And oh, he's mighty. His love is so mighty. And it's so evident, is it not? You'll never escape the ick of the world. Don't think you can. Because it's everywhere. And it's waxing worse. That's why our ear needs to be hearing this. Praise God. All right. Let's get ready. Amen. And let's be ready. Amen. Amen. So, Saul didn't want to see the grace of God that was with that sweet little man. And Saul, just as any Christian, when they want their flesh to be the focus, you know what happens? You begin to disdain the grace of God. When you want your flesh to be the focus of your life, you will disdain the grace of God. Saul literally turns against the grace of God that God sent to save him. Isn't that every one of us? God sent us the grace of God, didn't he, to save us? Jesus Christ. So why don't we just keep going on in grace? We should we not? Because I believe John the Baptist told us he's full of grace and truth. That should be our mark. Amen, amen, amen. Now, instead of glorying in the grace of God that God gave and saved him and Israel with, he resented it, and it only got worse. You go on verses 17 through 30, and I'll just give you a little summary. Saul really gets after it to try to kill David. How he goes after him is he tries to trick David, and he says, well, I'm going to give you my daughters to be your wife. Well, David, being that loyal and godly man, knew that would be an honor. And he honored Saul. See, we know in David's life, even when God put Saul later on in his life, right at his feet to cut his throat, and even David's men said, kill him, kill him. David said, I will not touch God's anointed. He was not going to lift up his hand against his brother. Even though his brother sought him like a partridge on the hills to kill him, he wouldn't do it. But here was Saul, and his whole intent was to destroy David. Do you see how crazy and incensed we are? We're not thinking right. We're insane when we turn against the grace of God. It'll cause you to destroy yourself, destroy your family. I've seen it. You've seen it. People will go after their own family to destroy them because they turn away from the grace of God. I've been in courtrooms. I've seen it multiple times. Parents going against children that know the Word of God and completely destroying their intent. But I'll tell you what, I've still seen the faithful, mighty hand of God. Now, Saul tries to kill him. He tries to kill him by giving him his wives. I should say his daughters to wife, excuse me. And so, David gladly goes against God's foes. He goes out against the Philistines. So he sends him out to battle, and he says, you go battle these Philistines, and I'm going to give you my daughter Merib. Well, David comes back, and Saul, being the kind of man he is, he gave that daughter to marry another man. But David, being the kind of man he is, just looked to God. And so Saul was even more incensed. Doing good unto those that despitefully use you, throw heaps of coals on their head. Even a Christian. So, he goes at him again. He says, well, you know, I got another daughter. Her name's Michal. And I'm going to give her to you. But I want you to go get me 100 Philistine foreskins. Now, that's quite a collection. And that's going to take some, you know, fighting, especially for a little guy. Well, David says, oh, thank you. And he goes out there and he brings him back 200. Brother, I love you so much, I'm going to bring you my double portion. Could you imagine Saul's terrified face? Well, he was so terrified that he gave her Michal. He wasn't going to mess with that one. Because he said, man, I'll tell you what, he ain't stupid, I don't think. Matter of fact, he knew the grace of God was with him. So God stopped that at that time. But again, we know that Saul doesn't back off in going after David. But brothers and sisters, I look at this. When are we going to learn to never come up against the grace of God? Don't do that. Don't. You will never win against the grace of God. His anointing grace is all powerful and will defeat that evil every single time. Now, go on over to chapter 19. Only gets better. This just keeps building and building and building and building. I love this, but it's like, oh, but I know the end of the story, so I kind of want to get there too. But at the same time, you can't miss a bit of it. Amen? Isn't that your life with the Lord? We know the end of the story by the grace of God. Ruling and reigning is a wonderful thing. But the Lord loves that. Build you up. Amen? Can't miss that. Because without it, you're never going to be ruling and reigning with those that are sanctified. Praise God. Now, chapter 19, let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. So Saul couldn't kill David. So now he's going to basically, you know, he's just beside himself. These guys already said that they loved him and admired David. But now Saul's not going to beat around the bush. You should kill him. Boy, that went over well, didn't it? You think? But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. He loved him. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father seeks to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. I kind of believe that's kind of like us a little bit. We need to seek peace with all men as much as lies within us. Amen? I don't want to be abusive and things of that nature, but I know that the Word of God said that they would hate me just like they would hate him. As he lifts that hedge, they'll see that. But for the most part, I've seen the Lord keep that hedge down. He's hidden me away, like in that secret place. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to see him in the morning. You see how beautiful this is and all of the encouragements that we get in this? It's mighty, and my heart sings as the Word of God is sung to me by the Holy Ghost. Now, this reveals Jonathan's wisdom and love. He cherishes God's anointed, doesn't he? Doesn't he? And now, because of love, not because of duty, he protects and he stands for David, the anointed one of God, the one that is full of grace. Jonathan, even against his loved ones that will try to defeat and convince him, which is Saul is doing right now, convince him to turn against God's anointed. And every one of us here tonight, we know this. Because God has given us appointments in our lives to have ones try to get us to turn away from the grace of God. Yes, we know that. And remember, the Lord has allowed that. That didn't get by God. It wasn't like, wait, how did that happen with God? No, he knew that. He gives these appointments. These are these wonderful trials of our faith. Ones that fall from the first love will often try to bring you with them. Did you hear that? They do. Misery loves company. And when you go after that and that begins to spoil in your life, you're going to try to spoil others, and it's sad. And you got to realize what that is. That's just the enemy. When we stand for the truth, when we stand for grace, the Lord will always allow the enemy to attack. I think he loves to torment the enemy. He knows you. He's not going to test you beyond what you can bear. But see, it's only to prove the ones that are really in love with him. It's always for our good. Do you know that? It hurts, doesn't it? But it was for our good. The Lord showed us the crucifixion hurt. I mean, it hurt like a hurt. Don't know. But it sure was for our good. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, in his faithfulness, he afflicts us. He promises that us that. The wife of the Son must be found, and her love will be proved and made manifest by the Spirit. These are the ones that Christ is hidden away in them, just like Jonathan. Jonathan tells David to go hide. Jonathan was very upfront about his care for David to Saul. But that wonderful love for David, that soul love, was hidden away in his heart. And it wasn't going to be severed, praise be to God. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 2 through 6, 19. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto his father. Isn't that something? He wasn't ashamed of David. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice, why then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord lives, he shall not be slain. Now this little part is wonderful, and it's a testimony of true bridal hearts. They will seek peace and try to win ones over to the Lord that are troubled. I pray we always do, as best and as much as the Lord would encourage us to. There will be time for that, and I pray we take that time. But I want you to notice something. Jonathan never compromised in behalf of loving grace, of loving David. He didn't try to trick Saul. He didn't try to come in a slick way. He just told the truth. He brought it right out, and it was clear to the light. He stands and he testifies the truth, who the anointed is, and all the wonderful good that he has done. Saul does not cower, Jonathan does not cower to his family or anyone with authority in his family. Jonathan once again stands brave and courageous and speaks the truth about David against the lies of his father. Listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to those that are in love with the truth. They stand for the truth, and they stand for those that stand for the truth. They stand with. They follow Paul as he followed Christ. We're in this time, brothers and sisters, and the mighty men are going to show forth. Continue to fight. And I'm so thankful and grateful to God that ones are standing. And it's a difficult time right now. It's in every family, brothers and sisters. There's a falling away. It's not just here and there. It's everywhere. The love of many is waxing cold. The ears are starting to turn to be tickled with anything but sound doctrine. And you can blame it on whatever you want, but there's nothing to blame but you. Jonathan showed us this. And this man had it all. And this was a fine man, a good man, all these things. But yet the word of the Lord ravished his heart. He wasn't going to leave the truth. I'm staying and I'm sticking with the stuff. And I love how Jonathan says it, sin not against David. That rings in my heart. Sin not. Don't forsake the grace of God that is with you. Don't make it vain. God graced us with him. His works, he said, have been very good. His life blesses you, Dad. Have you ever told somebody in your family that? That was trying to go after the grace of God. See, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, do we? But they go after the grace of God. Dad, it's done you good. The love, the grace that God has sent to you. And oh, the Christ type in 19:5 of David. I love how it says, therefore he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. How wonderful. But see, this is heartbreaking. And I'm telling you, these are times in our life that are the most heartbreaking times we ever face in reality. Because the greatest defeater of God's best is making grace vain. The greatest defeater of God's best is making grace vain. And Saul did it over and over and over. Think of how many opportunities he had. First of all, the anointing of the Lord on his life. That God did that for him. Of all the people there, God made you king. And we've got even a better thing. God gave me the message to rule and reign jointly with his son. I got more than Saul did. He had grace upon me and mercy upon me and compassion upon me. And he anointed me with it. Amen? Amen. But then, failure, mishap, rebellion on Saul's part. But yet God continued to speak with him. God continued to show such grace divinely, even with David's life, and blessing him and blessing Israel. Blessing the people that Saul was supposed to love. But Saul was so concerned about himself and his image and how people perceived him and respected him. I've got to be respected. Let me tell you something. I only want to be loved by Jesus, and he loves me. I had to go through that. I told you, there was a time in this world where people would do anything to have time with me. And then I got somewhere with God and I became chop liver. And I'm telling you the truth. And I'm going to tell you the truth, it was kind of hard for me at one time. Hit me a couple years ago, real hard. Not even a couple years ago, maybe a year ago. I remember my brother back there in California, he said, I wondered when this was going to happen. And when he said that, I said, oh Lord, show yourself faithful. And thank God, it was a brief season. I didn't like pity. I didn't like staying there. Wasn't getting me anywhere. Except in a deeper hole and miserable. And God and his love lifted me. Praise his name. Praise the Lord. But see, I needed that. He needed to show. I'm still flesh. And it's a wonderful work of grace that's going on. Now, let's think about this wonderful grace, the reality of it. Every Christian is saved by the grace of God. It's clear that our whole life is enabled by God's all-sufficiency grace, isn't it? His all-sufficient grace. Our whole life is about grace. It is. You know that. The Word of God's told you that. The command of the Lord is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then I can conclude we must be out of our mind to cease from grace in our walk. We have to be completely out of our mind to somehow want to drift from the grace of God. Amen? Amen. We would. And that's just it. It must be a complete lie when we turn from the grace of God. Amen? It has to be the enemy. And that enemy, let me tell you something, he knows it's the only way he's going to defeat you, and especially defeat the people that have the whole counsel of God, Paul's gospel. That's the way to defeat you, is getting you away or off of the grace of God and thinking about you and satisfying your flesh. Get you every time. We're in a fight and it's constant. Because, see, put us in the great sensory feeler known as your flesh that could go off of a feeling like a flea, like that. But that's what he chose, because his grace is so all-powerful and so beautiful that it is this vessel that so needs grace. Even though it's so weak and it's absolute defeat without the Lord, it still is a vessel that can't survive in the Lord without grace. So you can think of it either two ways, that, oh my goodness, I'm the greatest failure, or wait a second, he made me specially for grace. Amen. Perfectly for grace. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the devil hates to hear that when the mind of Christ clicks on and said, wow, I'm made for grace. A vessel to the praise and the glory of his grace. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Not only we got hope, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amen. Because we are made for grace. Now, grace saved King Saul. Grace saved is Israel. Why are you turning on grace, Saul? The anointed of God was given to bring victory and continue on in victory. The more the anointing of God. Why are you trying to destroy it, Saul? And once again, it's self-will. Self-will destroys the grace of God in your life. See, if it's grace, it's no more works. If it's works, it's no more grace. Amen? So when we begin to work, the grace of God has ceased in that we're not accepting it. It's always there, but we make it vain, empty to our lives because we're not receiving it. I close myself off to it, if you will. The devil wants us to get us away from that grace. He can get us away by thinking about ourselves. And I'll tell you what, when we think about ourselves, we'll think about ourselves above the bridal message. That's first love. Yeah, and it is. We have to know He knows our need because He gave us that need. Amen? No matter what it is in our lives. Every downsetting, uprising, or thought afar off, everything about you, Jesus knows. And He gave it. All things are from Him, and He does. Is them that love God, it works together for your good. You're wonderfully, fearfully made for Him. That truth has to settle in our lives. Then we begin to praise Him always. Amen. We pray always. We give Him all the glory always. I truly can thank Him when I fail because, Lord, I know that I'm going to grow in that grace. I can thank Him when I succeed because, Lord, I've received the grace of God to grow. Amen. Praise God. Oh, let Him mind His grace in you. Praise the Lord. Now, the devil will give you any excuse that you'll take. Remember, you got to take it. He'll give you any excuse, if you'll take it, to leave the bridal message. And what happens is you'll leave the fellowship of those that love the bridal message. Because after a while, those that love the bridal message, if you're going to leave it, they're going to pass by, just like Paul. You love people. And that's why I say, even with Saul, Jonathan loved his daddy. You know, that is evident. And he's trying to encourage his dad in the grace of God, in the love that God gave through David. But you're going to find later on that Jonathan begins to distance himself from his dad. He basically goes with him when he has to. But his fellowship then is completely with David. That love, that encouragement. And that's what begins to happen when those that don't want to go. When our flesh needs to be acknowledged or satisfied, know this, grace has nothing to do with that. All grace is about Jesus. All grace is about Jesus and His strength. All grace is about Jesus and His power. All grace, praise God, is about ever looking upon the mercy seat because it's got to be Christ that enables my life. That's all grace. Praise God. Now, keeping us, not only this grace keeps us not only from what we deserved, but it rewards us with exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's unmerited love, favor, whatever you want to call it. It's the grace of God. And you can be confident in that for your life. As we close this up tonight, Saul for a moment shows change. Notice he said, as the Lord lives, he shall not be slain. Well, let me tell you something about Saul's oath and any other man's oath. It might last 5 minutes, if that long. And let's read what happens in verse 7. So Saul swears in verse 6, and Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And I think of this like me sometimes too. Oh, they're going back after it, and this is great. Let me tell you something. Jesus knows. Grace knows. And that's the thing you need to do. People say they want to go on with the Lord. Get them around the grace of God. And it'll flush them out every single time. Yes, it will. We can sing a lot and sing a lot, but boy, I'll tell you what, when the word of the word of His grace goes out, you're either going to fall in love with it or you're going to fall away from it. That's all you're going to do. And there was war again, it said, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter. Look at even more grace. And they fled from him, and the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. Isn't that something? That's all Saul could do, was sit in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played his David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So, when we entertain and keep that evil spirit, and I see this very clearly, is when we want to just detest the grace of God, I'll tell you what, jealousy and that evilness only grow worse. The javelin once again is thrown, David slips away. And what will soon happen, as always does, when you turn against grace, you're going to turn against and have that same ill will for those who love grace. And it will happen every single time, even if it's your own family, even if it is your own son. Those that have done the best for eternity for you, preaching and teaching and fellowshipping in grace, you will turn against when you turn from the grace of God. It went on then. I've seen it go on in years past. It's going on now. And I can testify, brothers and sisters, for your life and for mine, there are some that will be against you. But know this, they're not against you. They're against the grace of God that's with you. And I thank the Lord that we can say the word of grace that at this meeting, or I should say that this meeting will only be what it is about. That the word of his grace that this meeting will only be about. Won't be about anything else. And that's what people might get upset with, because they'll want you to be about something else. I know that there's been ones that have wanted us to be about so many different social interests. And I will say it from, I'll just say it because I've had people come in and give me their slogans. And I'm talking about people that have come here. Well, brother, you need to talk about abortion. Brother, you need to talk about race. Brother, you need to talk about political parties. Brother, you need to talk about the president. Let me tell you something. We need to be all about the word of his grace. And we better have our hearts and our hearts' affections set on the things above. Because I'll tell you what, without it, we're not going to be on course for the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Enemy will give you any flavor of the month that'll poison you away from the truth. Let's keep on keeping on. Amen. Love you. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.